Sometimes you kind of wonder, you know, why would you stick in it so long with such a small church? Are you not looking around? Are you not seeing? Is something not computing? Well, you know, unless the Lord says quit. Unless the Lord says quit, don't. Right? I don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. But to know that the Lord said, here's where I want you to be. When you hear different, just continue. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing for people in the pew. Yeah. Unless the Lord says quit, don't. Your pastor depends upon you. It's amazing how your emotions and your attitude can rise and fall. Just from who's here and who's not. Yeah. Continue. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to give away my age here. but when I was a kid, there was a movie out there, and James Garner was the star. It was Support Your Local Sheriff. Does anyone remember that? Anyone old enough to remember that? Cool. Guys with the gray hair or no hair remember. Well, the title of tonight's message is Support Your Local Pastor. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. If you'd all stand, please. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You can be seated. Father, I do pray you'd bless tonight's message. I pray, Father, that you'd bless the preaching of it, Lord. Father, I would preach it the way you want it preached, not with the chip on my shoulder, but with the power of God. I pray for the receivers, Lord. I pray for grace, God. I'm not you. This message is not perfect, but I'm trying. And I pray for their grace as they hear it. Lord, that they would receive it with meekness and fear, that they'd seek your face and look in the mirror of the Word of God and say, is it me, O Lord? How can I help? How can I be a blessing to my pastor, to this church? How can I make a difference? Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number one, like Aaron and Hur, hold up the pastor's hands. Amen. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 10, Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 10, if you don't mind turning there, please. They're getting ready to have a fight, and part of our Christianity is fighting, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and we're to fight the good fight of faith. Every one of us, amen, are engaged in that kind of combat, and we want to fight together. We're better together than separately. Yeah. One of the reasons why I did a little bit of reading, just a little bit, but one of the reasons why Custer got decimated is they were spread out all over the place, and they just got cut down to pieces, you know, one by one. But you stick together, you have a better chance in this fight. Exodus 17, verse number 10, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on top of the hill, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. That's kind of a weird story, isn't it? When do you hear something like that again? I wonder why the Lord stuck that in there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, isn't it? Yeah. You know what we want to do? We want to try as Christians not to be spectators and look at the pastor and say, I wonder how long he's going to last. How long can he keep his hands up? Someone got to watch. And sometimes almost entertaining in a sick way. We don't want to be that person. We don't want, I knew he was, there was something wrong. I knew there was a chink in his armor. Just took a little while before his hand dropped. What can we do to hold his hand up? Let's get that stone, stick it under him so he has something to sit on. Let's see who's going to hold up his hand and keep him where we can win this fight. Amen. He wasn't fighting. But when his hand went down, they were losing the fight. Right. You don't get the victory by circumventing your pastor, but by standing beside him. Amen? Number two, support him in your attendance. Right? Want to support the local pastor. Support him in your attendance. Sometimes, you know, you think to yourself, oh, they won't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm not there. You're not thinking right. You're a child of the King. And I know, you know, in independent Bible-believing Baptist ranks, we can kind of be a little rough on one another. You know, I am Christian, I am nothing. Now, you're a child of the King. You're absolutely essential. Amen. The feet can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor the eye to the ear, I have no need of thee. Support him with your attendance. If you can be there, be there. I remember, you know, when I was in college, I didn't miss classes in school unless I was really sick. And when I went to college, I had a friend of mine that, you know, that he liked to skip class and go to the beach. And man, I felt, it's such a, why in the world am I following you to the beach? Because I'm going to come back, I'm a day behind, I got to get caught up on the notes and then try and pay attention to what's going on right now. Always put me behind. When I was a gymnast, you did not miss practice. And it just would irk me when I would sit there and, why isn't he here? We got a meet coming up Saturday at University of Washington. We need to practice. You don't miss practice. You do understand. You're not church folk sitting in a pew. You're an athlete. You're a runner. You're a boxer. You know, I mean, you don't throw to beat the air. You throw to make contact. You're wrestling one of the hardest sports in the world. Wrestling, boxing, and distance running. Be here at practice. You need it. People would say to me, why do you go to church? I said, I can't miss church. I need it. If I want to be able to stay engaged in the battlefield, I need the spiritual instruction. Sure, I can read my Bible at home. Sure, I can listen to messages now more than ever. They're all over the place. But you want to be in the house of God where God puts you, where you can be around the people of God, shake their hand, talk to them, see them eyeball to eyeball, listen to the preaching of the Word of God. But my pastor used to always say, the service you miss is the service God wanted you there for. And it was the world, the flesh, and the devil that kept you out. Show you support your pastor by filling the seats in this church. Amen? I don't know. I don't know if this is a good question to ask or not, but do you miss work? I don't miss work unless I'm too sick to work. And, you know, if I'm sick, I'll go to work and, you know, try and clean my hands regularly. I don't want to get the next person sick, but I got to make a buck. If I'm not there, I'm not earning dollars, and I get the rent's still due or the mortgage is still due. Well, not anymore. But I know how it is. You got to pay bills. Right? And if you're not there pounding it out, you're not going to pay the bills. Why isn't you can make it to work, but you can't make it to church? Come on now. Think about it. 100 years from now, and you look back on this, and the Lord says, I just want you to give an account for your attendance at church. Why did you miss so many days? But you're there almost every day for work. I'm not saying this to browbeat you. I'm not. It's something better to think about now than later. Yeah. Don't you agree? Yeah. Yeah. Number three, support your pastor in prayer. You know, you think about it. Why should I pray for him? He's a grown man. He's qualified. He's called by the Lord to do the job. Let's see you do it. Now think about it. If you pray for him, you say, God, give him a really good message this morning. Who stands to benefit from it? Hang on a second. Ask me that one more time. Pray for your pastor. You're the one hearing the message. Amen. Lord, help him, God. Help him, please, please. Amen. First Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Who said that? Greatest Christian ever lived. What did he need prayer for? So he could be the greatest Christian ever lived. It's a team effort. You're on that team. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. This is bigger than this church. This is bigger than you. That the word of God might have free course. You pray that the Lord would bless that man with that message and you don't know what it's going to do. It might reach this person or that person or this person. They may go on to a foreign mission field. They may pastor a church someplace. Listen, we're a little tiny itty-bitty church, but a guy in our church got saved and he's pastoring Houston, Texas. Shady Acres Baptist Church, Houston, Texas. We got a missionary in Mexico. Little tiny church. Listen, you pray for the preaching, you see what it does in the pew, and the word of God gets glorified and magnified and goes on. You got to be that, have that kind of faith. It's going to start with you praying for him. Amen? Is one of these for me? I'm dying up here. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But I tell you, there's some real stinkers out there, aren't there? Yeah. Amen. Pray for your pastor. We ran into some real Lulus. And you do. I remember getting up, I don't know, it's 3-4 o'clock in the morning to meet some brother at the airport, you know, moving into the area, wanting some help getting things moved. Got some guys together. We load all the stuff into his apartment. What was he? Just a wacko. Independent Bible-believing wacko. You believe that? He really was. I'm not saying that because you're independent Bible-believing, you're a wacko. He was. Amen. Didn't last real long. Left. And, you know, that's what he has to deal with, too. I'm not saying you. I'm saying he has to deal with that stuff. Really. Praying for your pastor requires praying for effect. Amen. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times we just pray. And the Lord talks about the Pharisees and how, you know, they make vain, repetitious prayers. And boy, a lot of times it's us, isn't it? Yeah. You know, we go through the list and, oh, yeah, this brother so-and-so and this brother so-and-so. All right, got through it. But we're not really praying for anything to happen. We remember what's going on with them. Remember the needs they have. And, hey, we're astute and praise the Lord. We took the time to pray for them and remember what they actually had going on in their lives. That's pretty good. But we weren't praying for effect. We weren't praying they'd really get healed. We didn't really think their bills are going to get paid. Pray for your pastor that the power of God would get on him. And you'd sit in the pew and he'd say, all right, get your hymnals. Let's get ready to close up. And you go, man, we just got started. You with me? Pray. Pray for effect. You're not a spectator saying, let me see what you get. Your prayers need fervency. And you not only want to pray for effect, but your prayers need fervency. What's that heat? And sometimes, you know, the Lord has to let us get hurt before we can get hot. It'd be nice if we got hot without getting hurt. But it's like sometimes unless we're hurting, we don't pray with heat. But we need to pray with heat. And there may become some hurting with that, but you know what? Number one, he's worth it. And you have to get this. He is worth it, but you are too. And if you pray with heat, he'll get something from God. And because of that, you will too. Amen. Because you matter. Your prayers need fervency, they need heart. From the heart, beseeching the throne of grace. Your prayers require personal righteousness from you. Amen? Amen? When it comes to praying for the pastor, the ball is in your court, not his. He's going to pray for himself. God, please give me something for these people. Show me what they need. Lord, show me something in the Word of God. It's a blank slate, and Sunday's coming. Father, please give me something for them. Listen, you pray for him. The ball is in your court. If the message falls flat, whose fault is it? Well, it's a pastor's fault. Maybe it's your fault. Amen. Pick up the ball. Dribble. Make some shots. Make some passes. Amen? Amen. Number four, support him in your listening. Turn to Job chapter 34, please. Support him in your listening. A lot of times what happens, you'll get a new voice in. We had an evangelist from local church Bible publishers, and you know, a new voice. He's loud all the time, and it was a really good message. And it's different. You know, the different guy has a better tendency sometimes to catch your attention. You've seen someone week after week after week, you get used to their idiosyncrasies, you know, when they scratch their ear, how they maybe twitch their shoulders or the tone of their voice. And, you know, if you're not careful, it'll get to where it's a drone. It's a regular repetitious thing, and you don't want to go there. Support him in your listening. Job chapter 34, verse number 3. For the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. Amen? Come hungry. Come hungry. I don't know what you're talking about. Figure it out. I really don't mean to be preaching with a chip on my shoulder, but figure it out. You're an adult. Come hungry. Some of you wait to go to the restaurant until you're hungry, so you'll enjoy the meal more. I don't want to eat yet because I got dinner coming up. Come hungry to church. With an appetite for the truth. Be eager. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I remember my friend and I, Dennis Yanzik, were up on Mount Hood. We were snow camping. And it was dark, and we got a fire going, and we can't even see what's inside the pan. But we got hamburger in there, and smoke and embers and everything is going into the pan. We had no idea how cooked it was. We just knew by now it had to be cooked. And, you know, there was enough softness to it that you could chew it, but there was a fair amount of charcoal in there, too, some from the embers that went into the pan. And you know what? We ate it. Yeah. Ate every bit of it. Every bit. Come hungry. My children sometimes would complain at the table. It didn't last long. I wouldn't tolerate it. My wife worked and prepared this food. I don't want to hear that you don't like it. It wasn't quite as nice as I'm saying it right now. But you will not complain about the food. You don't, do you? No. Just think about it. I mean, you honestly can do whatever you want. I would advise, I would recommend not to. I think if you have a proper attitude when you hear the Word of God, I think the Lord, the Holy Ghost of God, will bless you for it. And I believe you'll take in more and practice more. Isn't that what you want to do? That's what I want to do. I want to try and live this thing, not just be a show. That being said, tell them when it's a good meal. You don't tell them, that was really crummy. But tell them when it was a good meal, at least he'll know what you like. Sure. Amen? My wife knows what meals I like now. Hey, that was really, really good. I'd like to see you do that again. Amen? Tell him. Tell him he'll be more encouraged to cook next week. Number five, make your pastor a great pastor. How do I do that, preacher? Through your fervent prayers, faithful attendance, willful application of the truths taught in the lessons and sermons. Amen? Kind of review. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want to make my pastor a great pastor. You know what? The Lord will be blessed, will be pleased if you do that. And he'll bless you for it. I'm just a pew sitter. You're not thinking right. Maybe this isn't a very good illustration, but Joshua was a pew sitter before Moses went down. And I don't know where her was, but maybe that's you. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse number 6, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Make him a great preacher by your faith. You put feet to what you hear. Amen? You get on your knees after the service. God, help me with this. You make a difference in your life. And he'll get to sit back and go, praise the Lord. God, you're helping them. Help me help them next week. For now we live... If you stand fast in the Lord, stand fast in the Lord. It encourages your preacher. You don't stand fast in the Lord, it discourages your preacher. Amen. 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 Where were we at? Amen. Am I lying or telling the truth? What's he going to say? You're a lying preacher. But if you know I'm telling the truth, amen. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your faces and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That's his desire. You know what happens with small incremental growth? You know what happens with small incremental growth? It usually goes unnoticed. Unless someone is displaced from that individual for a period of time and comes back and sees that person after a period of time and goes, wow, where'd your beard go, brother? Right? You don't know that the Lord is working on you through the preaching and you're getting small incremental growth over time, that as the years go on, you are becoming a giant for the Lord. You don't see it. Boy, the preaching's just not doing any good. Ask someone else who hasn't seen you for a while. And if it's really not doing any good, maybe you better get on your knees before the Lord and see what's wrong with you. Amen. And number six, volunteer for whatever. Volunteer. How can I help? What do you need cleaned? What do you need painted? Hey, I see this thing over here that needs some spackle and paint. Do you mind if I spackle and paint it? No, that'd be great. Please do. Volunteer. Hey, I want to buy some tracks. can I pitch in $100 for tracks, $50 for tracks? Just volunteer. Maybe cleaning, food prep, supplies. Number seven, use the mirror often, not the microscope. James chapter 1, verse number 22. James chapter 1, verse number 22. Use the mirror often and not the microscope. Amen? Verse number 22, James chapter 1, verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Amen? Like a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. Amen? Be good with the mirror. And you could probably chunk the microscope, maybe save it for science class or something, but not for church. Well, you can put anyone under a microscope. I tell you what, you don't even have to put me under a microscope. You could close one eye and get a patch on it with a little tiny hole. You'd still find some problems. Amen? Yeah. We all got them.
Yeah.
We're better at seeing others than our own. And of course, that depends on humility. We're all human. You know, I'll say that at work. Been there since 1995. And something will happen, and, you know, parts guy said, oh, I didn't get it ordered. I said, well, you know, we're all human. Why do you say that? Because the next day or the next week or the next month, it's going to be me on the receiving end, and I want him to look at me and say, hey, don't worry about it. We're all human. Yeah. So is your pastor. You know what's perfect? The Word of God.
Yeah.
Will you agree?
Yeah.
I'm with you. You know what's not? Him. Does it surprise you? It's a weird thing. It really is. You come to church to hear the perfect Word of God. And it's a weird thing. You come to church to hear the perfect Word of God preached, and here's a guy that can forget. Here's a guy that might get the illustration for point three on to point two, and it doesn't quite fit, and you realize it doesn't quite fit, and you're like, man, what? He's a guy. It's hard. Wait a minute. He's preaching the perfect Word of God. Yes, he is. But be an adult and reconcile these things. It's just the way it is. God picked broken people to minister to broken people. God's Word is perfect. The pastor is not. Our sermons aren't either. I remember there was one pastor, I never apologized for anything I preached. Well, you know, you probably ought to. I mean, come on, dude. You can't tell me you're like the Pope and everything you speak is ex cathedra behind the pulpit. Amen. Mine isn't easier. We're singing a hymn, you know, and we're on verse number three, and I'm singing verse number four, verse number two. Sometimes I've started the hymn and I've got the wrong tune to the hymn page we're at. You ever done that before? Okay. Yeah, we're just people called to God. It's how the Lord, you know, why does the Lord do that? Why didn't the Lord get some AI generated, you know, computer that doesn't make mistakes? Because then the Lord wouldn't get the glory. You know, I just picked people like you and me so he can get the glory. You ever look at Gideon? He was a mighty man of valor. I can't believe the Lord said that. Lord, I thought you didn't lie. Well, under the right circumstances, he was a mighty man of valor. But he's just a dude like you are. Now, he's a call to God dude. There's a big difference there. There's a big difference there. And that's the respect you need to show him. Not because he's a different humanoid, but because he's called of God. And you respect the work God is doing in someone broken like you. Someone that can forget like you. Someone that can lose their train of thought like you. You know, you listen to, I don't know if anyone here ever listens to Donald Trump, but he was talking and he said how he'll be on point and then he'll go over here and talk about a sub point, then get back over here and remember where he's at. I do that too, but sometimes I never get back here. I was a good illustration, and I'm thinking, okay, can anyone help me out? What was that? What were we talking about there? And so the people in the pew start, you know, giving me hints, you know, sounds like, you know, look, and pretty soon we get to the right, that's it, we tie it in, we finish it up. Amen. The content, the cross references, the order of points and subpoints may not be perfect. The way the sermon is preached, the way it's preached. When do you, you know, emphasize? When do you not emphasize? When should you be quiet? When should you, you know, really let them know this is important? And a lot of times it's just, Lord, please, would you please figure that all up for me? Because I don't know. Amen. Yeah, who knows, don't get sidetracked here, but who knows the guy that would preach with no emotion? Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? Jonathan Edwards? Jonathan Edwards would just read his sermon. You won't get mad at your pastor. Imagine the pastor up here just reading in a monotone voice. Amen? The way the sermon is preached, the illustration, the points of emphasis may not be perfect, but the pastor is praying throughout the process of preparation and delivery to get as close as he can to the perfect will of God, the right message and the right intent. And you know what we want to do as recipients of the Word of God? Be ye thankful. And I guarantee you, you be more thankful and the sermons will improve all on their own. Try it. Sometimes you'll see life, the week gets better just by being thankful. Number 8, stay, don't leave unless you have to, or God clearly calls you elsewhere. We had a memorial yesterday for one of our 83-year-olds in the church, and she would go downtown with Brother Andy. They led up the high school track team, and we had her, Sister Amy, and Brother Craig. Sister Amy was also in her late 70s, early 80s, and she came to church till she couldn't come anymore. She couldn't play the piano anymore. She didn't know what the notes were. She couldn't remember. And she didn't quit because she quit. She quit because she couldn't. Let that be you. I said that about her in her memorial. Let them say that about you. John 6, verse number 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Lord had a problem keeping people. Lord had a problem keeping his disciples. And they were leaving him. He must have mismanaged. He must not have preached right. He didn't have the right intent. Yeah. It's amazing how pharisaical we can get, isn't it? Doesn't it just stink? And just puke. Don't be a part of it. Don't get in it. Stay out of it. You know, the Lord looked at him. Oh, don't go. Oh, don't go. Please stay. You gonna leave too? That way it's your choice. Are you gonna leave too? I looked at the Lord and said, no way. I'm staying. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you have a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching and preaching pastor, stay close to him like bees to honey. And lastly, and I don't mean to end on a negative point, but The reality of Christianity is, you know, God's merciful, He's gracious, God is love, but He's also known by the judgments He executes. And every one of us, every one of us, if you don't mind, do you mind raising your hand if you're saved? Okay. If you're not, you ought to be. Jesus saves. Repent of your sins, trust Jesus Christ. It's that simple. God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. Would you please have mercy on my soul and save me in Jesus' name? But if you are saved, and it looks like just about everybody in here is, every one of us is going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Don't be a rebel. It's dangerous and far from the will of God. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Don't, please, I beseech you, don't be the rebel that God rejects. Don't get on the losing end of that stick. Keep the preacher in the ministry and stay with him. If you have to, ride the ship down together. He probably used the company. Amen? Amen. That wasn't so bad, was it? What will you be known for? Taking down the man of God? Some folks have that badge. It's almost a curse, I think. We went to the pastor's school. It was a blessing. It was a real blessing. Dr. Sam Gipp, by the way, I forgot to say it, but Dr. Gipp is going to be at True Vine Baptist Church the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Friday night, and Sunday. Friday night, 7 o'clock, Saturday night, 6, and then Sunday. But he spent a whole session, October. Yes, sir. Thank you. He spent a whole session on how important it is to keep the pastor in the ministry. He said, there have been pastors I didn't care for, I didn't personally like, I didn't necessarily agree with everything they preach, but there are Bible-believing pastors, and I would go out of my way and take money out of my own bank account to keep them in the ministry. Have that on your resume. Lord, I didn't get them out, I kept them in. Or at least I tried. And you know, he's still in today. You be a part of that. You be that support. Any one of us can get a microscope and find stuff wrong with any one of us. It's the building up that takes the Spirit of God and the humility of the saint of God to help the man of God continue to stay standing and having done all to stand, because if he goes down, we all go down. You with me?